Hi, everybody. Welcome to podcast number one. My name is Andy. And for the next number of weeks, we're going to be looking at the vision and values that the Lord has given to us over this past year of praying. And I think that this is going to be a really crucial exercise to us as a community. One of the things about us, and I think it's actually our strength, is that we're very scattered. This new way of meeting together that the Lord's granted to us causes us to be situated all over the city, and in that we form these little churches that really can develop their own culture, their own ethos, their own mission. They can be led as the Spirit is leading them in order to reach out to the neighborhood within which they sit in. And I think that's one of the most exciting things about us. And at the same time, though, because we're so scattered, it makes us difficult to remain united and to remain rooted around a similar cause that the Lord has given to us. And so I think that that's what these vision and values are intended to do for us. They're intended to unify us. They're intended to root us together along a similar track so that, yes, while we're scattered and maybe even while we look different in each of our own little settings, we are at the same time one group of people moving in a similar direction toward our vision, of course, being Jesus. And so I think it's really important then for us to be a people that continue to go back over these vision and values. And probably I foresee that we'll do this maybe once a year. Once a year, we'll come back and remind ourselves again of these things that the Lord has spoken to us. Now, in these opening weeks, we're going to look at the vision. And I had thought that we would do this vision over the course of 3 weeks. But when I prepared my first talk, which I thought would just deal with the first little stanza of our vision and root that biblically, I realized that I had prepared way too much. And so already I'm breaking this talk up into two talks. So you're going to hear the first part this week and then the second part next week. And remain listening at the end of this little talk, because at the end of it, I have some questions that I think might lead you or personally or your church in further discussion on what we're talking about this week. So for opening week, we're looking at the opening stanza, part one, next week, part two. But before we go there, let's pray together. Jesus, I just thank you for what you're doing right now. It stuns me when I think about the fact that right now in our little basement, someone is praying, and we pray for your blessing and for your anointing upon them. God, I'm amazed already at what you are doing as far as lighting a fire in your people to be the living water of Christ and to bring the living water of Christ to the city of ours. We welcome your Holy Spirit. As a whole group of people listening in all over the city right now, we join our hearts and we welcome your Holy Spirit. And we pray, Jesus, that your living water would flow through our streets. We welcome that. And now for this time of teaching, Lord, I pray for your blessing. I pray that you'd help us to work out this new format, these modern takes on Paul's letters. I pray, God, that your Spirit would go with us in these, and that you would equip us into maturity, even through the teaching of your word. So thank you, Jesus, for this time. Amen. So, opening stanza of our little vision. The vision prayer reads like this. Our vision is Jesus. I love that. Our vision is Jesus, present and near, dwelling within, sweet and wondrous, intimate and kind. Our vision is Jesus. We want to be a movement of disciples that know him and see him and love him and listen to him. We want to live with him, abide in him, rest in him. We want to be his resting place, a people that God calls home. We want him, just him, so desperate for him. And this opening stanza points to the intimacy, that worship, that spiritual formation thing that we all long for and that we all need in our lives. And when I was thinking about this opening stanza this past week, my mind was taken back to the book of Isaiah, and particularly the last chapter of the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 66. Isaiah is this book that is both a word of judgment and it's also a word of hope to God's beloved kingdom of Israel. Israel, among many other times in their life, but Israel had deeply spiraled into all sorts of decay, and God knew that unless his people turned, that they needed to be judged, and in that they needed to be refined. But as is always the case in discipline with the Lord, His goal in this was the redemption of people. His goal was hope for his people. And particularly God's heart for his people was that they would become a people within whom he could again dwell, who he could again establish his presence with. And in that they would then be a people that would carry out his plans for the world, ultimately the nation of Israel. That plan received a fulfillment in the person of Christ. So we come to Isaiah 66, the very last chapter of the book. And I think we see both these sentiments come to life. In Isaiah 66, as he sums up the whole book, Isaiah talks about how God had declared that he would indeed judge and refine his people. And yet Isaiah 66 also talks about how he longed to redeem them, and in this to find a people within whom God could again dwell. And this is what he says in Isaiah 66, the opening couple of verses. This is what the Lord says. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Where is the house you will build for me? Where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all these things, and so they came into being, declares the Lord. This is the one that I esteem, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. I mean, his heart here with his people, this word of hope is so simple. Children, he says to them, my beloved Israel, you have wandered, yet my desire is to dwell with you, to rest with you, to be with you. The resting place, right? The resting place. I love that expression. As God desired that for that to be thousands of years ago, I think that as a people today, it remains our greatest desire to live out the fulfillment of that cry, to be the resting place of God. I remember back in Exodus chapter 33, Moses had been instructed by the Lord to cross over into the promised land, but before going, which actually he didn't end up being able to go, but before going there, Moses wrestled with the Lord saying, no, we cannot go unless you promise to go with us, unless your presence goes with us. And I think he articulated there to the Lord what we all know in our spirit, that unless God is with us in this journey, unless he is resting with us, we better not go into this. We better not do a thing. We better not step forward any further than what we already have. We need to be a people within whom God, by his presence, is choosing to dwell on both a personal and also on a corporate level. And I would say to us as a people that this is actually our primary goal. Yeah, it's linked to the other things that we're called to do, but I believe that this sits atop it all. More than anything else, we want to be a people within whom the presence of God dwells. Now, some of you already out there might be saying, well, don't we have him already? And I think we might be splitting hairs here in this argument. The fact is that, of course, we have him, right? As believers, we have him. He's with us. Ephesians 1 promises us this. You can read that yourself. It talks about how the Holy Spirit has been given to us as a seal, guaranteeing his presence. And this seal has promised to never leave us. So the question, though, that springs from that is, do we have the fullness of him? Have we experienced the depths of his love? Have we understood the fullness of his presence in our lives? Are we operating in the fullness of his authority? And the answer to that, right from my own heart, is I know I'm not. I don't think even Paul did. And this is what it means to be a human. Yes, we have him guaranteed. Do we need more of him? Do we need more of his might, more of his presence to rest with us and on us? And the answer to that is guaranteed. Yes, we need more of him. And this is the spirit of this opening stanza of our little vision. We have him, and I'm so thankful for that. But I want more for me personally, and I want more for us corporately. I want God to find his home in us more and more. We want his presence to dwell so thickly among us that he is palpable in our midst when we gather. Why? Because without him and without this presence in us, we are dead in the water. But with it, and with him, we gain life, and we gain love, and we gain hope, and we gain grace, and we get healed so that in this place we can be healing to others, and we get freed up and released from the stuff that hinders. The more we know us, the more that we know him, the more that he is with us, the more that we find ourselves his home, I would say to us all, the better it is for us all, and the better it is for the world which we are called to be agents of mercy and justice and grace within. I had this thought this past week, which just kind of grabbed me. What if we became people? What if we became known as a people that were like God's lazy boy? You know, the people that God felt he was just so welcoming, the people that he knew he could just curl up in. I want you to imagine your little church for a second. I know you've only met a couple of times, but I want you to imagine your little church for a second. What if those people there were the people within whom God had chosen to dwell in a very special way? Can you imagine that? What that would be like? I mean, the thought, it stirs me. I want us to know him. I want us to be at home with him, and I want he to be at home with us. I want to be intimate with our Father. And it really is the starting point, because it really is there that we are released. I mean, imagine if this was your starting point. I just want us to be a person, and I want us to be a people that see our most wonderful goal as being the resting place of the Father. And I believe that if we get this right, then everything else that we desire will fall into place. I was in Dallas 2 weekends ago, and it was cool. It was a great city, great people. But you know, the whole time I was away, I just couldn't wait to be home with my family. I missed my wife. I dreamed about putting my daughter to bed at night. I couldn't wait to see my son smile, who started when I was away. I hungered for intimacy with my family. I couldn't wait to just throw open the door and be home with everyone. And what was so cool about all that was that I knew they were thinking the exact same thing about me. They couldn't wait for me to come home. And I think that's just like the Father, right? He loves us with this unknowable intensity. And I think he just longs to be with us. He longs to dwell with his family. He longs to throw open the door and settle in right in the midst of us. He longs to throw open that door and say, "Kids, my children, I'm home." And you know, I know that most of us, we want to be the same kind of people. We want to just God to be so at home with us. His presence to be so real with us. And I guess my encouragement to us today is this: let's make our welcome mat to the Father our top priority. When we look at our vision statement, I think that's really what Jesus did best. He made his life a home for the Father. Read John's Gospel sometime with this in mind. Everywhere you look, Jesus is talking about the Father. He really, really loved his dad. He really, really desired his dad's presence to be with him. And we want to be like that. We want to be like Jesus in that way, a people in whom God's calls home. I think about Jesus' prayer for his people in John chapter 15, the vine and the branches. He's talking about the vine and the branches, and he gives to us this picture of his people being the branches, abiding within the very vine of God, abiding in him, dwelling in him, gaining life and nourishment from our dwelling in him. And conversely, from his dwelling in us. And listen to what he says, just to remind you of these words. He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you, so remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself, it must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." And we'll talk about that passage a little bit more next week. But there is just such intimacy in all of this. Even the word "remain in me," it finds its root in the resting place word that we have in Isaiah 66. Doesn't something within your spirit when you read those words, doesn't it just something long for this kind of life? And don't you long to be a part of a community that is living this way and welcoming others into a similar place? I mean, don't you long to be the resting place of God? Course. And so the question is, how? How might we go about enabling this kind of life even more? And that's what we're going to look at next week. But for this week, I just want you to think about being the lazy boy of God. I want you to pray about that and to dwell on that. And I got a few questions now, maybe that can help aid you or aid your church along in that journey. First question. I talked a lot from the Old Testament. I mentioned the New Testament in John, but bring it further through to the New. What does the New Testament shed light on about this whole idea of being the resting place of God? Second question. What do you think is attractive to God? How else do we need to be a people, or how do we be a people that welcome his presence? We're going to talk about that next week, but maybe you can be thinking about that this week. How might we go about welcoming his presence? Next question. How does this intimate idea of intimacy interact with the desire to be missional? In other words, we don't want to just be a kind of a people that are just a nice, cozy love-in with God. Right? We have a responsibility of bringing justice and grace and mercy to the world. So how do we live in these two places being missional, while at the same time being so consumed with the presence of God. Now, here's another one. Maybe you could do a word study this week from Scripture on these words, dwelling, abiding, resting place. What do the other scriptures reveal to us about this? Maybe you can blog on that or some of the other questions. Let the rest of us in on your thoughts. And finally, take a moment to pray for yourself and for your church. Ask the Spirit of God this week to come and rest in your midst. Welcome Him to dwell. Pray for people by name. Pray for God's fullness to dwell in them. Listen to the Spirit. Are there things that He would want to reveal about your life or our church that are things that might resist Him resting in us? And on the other hand, what things does He say to us that He just finds so attractive about us and our church? Ask Him to increase that. Love you all very much, and you'll hear from me next week.